missed any of the show, grab the podcast.
For free every day at TNTRadioEmpire.com. iTunes or on the Stitcher app. You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.
All right, so I'm sitting down reading my Cologuard directions last night. I have to do this next couple of days or something like that.
You doing it on the toilet?
No, because you have to put like a little... First of all, it's completely gross. I mean, everything about it is gross.
Well, yeah, it's poop in a bucket.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And in the U.S.
It's worse than that. It's worse than that.
That's right.
It's totally worse than that. It's totally worse than even what you're thinking. It's put like they give you this little bracket you put on the toilet so you can sit and you poop in that. And then you grab that out.
So it's a basket like a training potty.
Yeah, but it's also real small. So I'm guessing you got to angle it. I guess you got to make sure your butt hits it. You can't have any urine.
You have to have like a bombardier.
Well, you sit. You sit down.
Pointing your ass.
You sit down.
In the
you
right
sit
place.
Down. Looks like you put it. You center it pretty good.
A tail gunner, if you will.
You might need a co-pilot.
It's worse. It's totally worse. My wife refuses to be around him. I'm reading it. And then once you put a stool in there, you take it back out. And then you take out this little, like, looks like a little eyeliner brush, you know, like you do on your women do or guys do on their. Well, women do basically, you know, on the eyebrows, that brush, little eyebrow
the
brush,
tiny brush.
Yeah. And you brush the turd with that. you fill that brush up with turd all around it, and then you shove that back in like a little tube, and then you take the turd, and there's liquid in there, some sort of chemical, and it says on there. It reminded me of Bill Ingvall's bit about here's your sign. They give you signs. It says reminds you not drink the liquid. It says in there not drink the liquid because it's not water. It's some sort of chemical. Then you pour that into the turd.
Wait, how are you extracting the liquid?
No, the liquid comes with it.
Oh, okay.
In a little packet or something.
No, it's a little jar of that too. Then you pour that into the cup that has the turd, the remaining turd.
Some sort of preservative for the turd.
Don't know. Don't even know. And then it might be it. I don't know. I thought make a nice soup or something like that. That's what I'm thinking.
Stock
formaldehyde or some.
I haven't opened up yet because I haven't done this
to
yet.
Keep your turd fresh.
Everything's going to be pretty sterile. In fact, you can't have any cuts on your hand. You can't have any blood in your blood on your say you get a hemorrhoid blood, you know, that could affect the outcome too. It's not in your stool, it's just on the outside of your butt, and that can affect it. So and then you seal that back up, and then you pretty much run right to the UPS because they need it within 24 hours, something like that. And it's back in the box that they sent it to you. It's set up where you just hand it right back in with a different label on it. So it says Cologuard. So when you walk in there, it's going to, people, anybody knows what that is. Yeah. It's my poop in a box.
He's got a box of poop.
I love that song, Poop in a Box. Not as sexy as D.
No.
It's D in a box.
No, right. It's not.
And then you run.
So you're saying if you see somebody, you go light a Cologuard box on fire, put it on your doorstep, do not stomp it out. There's a turd inside.
There's a turd in there. Yeah. Exactly right. Unless the Cologuard box comes to your house anyway, turd free, because you're supposed to fill that bag up yourself.
Yeah, but usually it doesn't come flaming.
No, it doesn't.
It comes without the flame.
They give you some gloves so that you're not,
you know what?
You don't have poopy fingers all over your box.
I didn't open the plastic yet because it says do not pull the bag out with the plastic. So I didn't even look in there. But I was wondering that too, Bush. I gotta have some. My wife has like gloves when she used to do hair, so stuff like that. I'll probably put a pair of those on. I don't want to mess with this crap at all.
I'm just thinking about the UPS guy that's got to touch that box later. You had poopy hands all over it. Well,
who knows? I'm sure they believe me. I'm like the only guy walking into the UPS store anywhere in the country with a Cologuard box.
No,
they get probably thousands of those things. You know.
Yeah, but they're still their least favorite customer.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe exactly.
They're still the ones they don't want to see. Oh God, it's another Cologuard.
I'm going to walk in smiling too, so they know how that goes. But yeah, it's pretty gross. It's just the directions were gross. You know. I mean, when I did that thing, when I just laid one in a Tupperware, my mom's Tupperware thing for. My urology visit.
You were ahead of the times.
Yeah, but that's probably why they want me to do it there because I brought it. They didn't know how long that turd had been in the Tupperware.
Yeah.
And I brought it in.
No, it's fresh.
It was like a dried dog turd in the yard. You know, we have to deal with that. So good morning, in case you enjoy your breakfast this morning there. I wanted to bring that up right away. We have a real nice email. Todd, you want to get to that about the... we've been talking about butt stuff a lot on this program for probably 30 years. And... And this guy says why people don't go in. We did a story about the Nepalese guy that had a jar in his ass.
A
jar in his a-hole.
Big drinking glass.
A jarro in his a-hole. In his a-hole. Right.
Yeah. Let me see what his credentials are. Pretty sure this guy's a doctor.
Yeah, I think he's emailed us many times before.
Pretty regular. We'll skip the part where he kisses my ass, and we'll get to the butt stuff. Treating all the patients with respect and dignity is critical to establishing trust and learning the reason for the events leading up to their visit, so you don't shame them. Mostly dudes.
Yeah, I don't think you could. I don't think doctors should shame anybody. I mean, let's say, got 5 heroin needles in their arm for the 7th time they're showing up. Then you can start to shame people.
But you hear those stories about people who go to the doctor and there's just, guys have terrible bedside manner.
Yeah, they do. They do. Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
This happens to mostly dudes. We're talking about rectal foreign body incidents now. Mostly dudes of a wide age range and mostly with an erotic purpose. Other scenarios include trauma, assault, packing, accidental attempt to relieve constipation. Many people delay or don't seek medical attention. It's hard for some of those who do actually talk about what happened. With stable patients, a transanal extraction.
Oh, transanal extraction.
Removing the foreign body from the door it entered is generally successful, but a fair number will end up needing an abdominal surgery to remove the foreign body.
Yikes.
A couple of important things everyone should know. If it's not designed to go in your butt and come out, don't stick it up there. That's rule number one.
See, people break that rule right away. Most people do,
Number two, do not estimate
the jarro.
Right. The vacuum seal created when a foreign body is inserted. You will lose the battle for that. Glass, light bulb, candle, whatever it is.
Light bulb is crazy. Those things, they break so easily, especially in your butt. Bush told me that.
Especially if lube is not involved. It could be a life-threatening emergency. Perforation followed by an infection called...
If there's no lube involved, you've been there before, man.
No, it said especially if lube is involved.
Oh, it is involved.
Then you're going to lose it even easier.
Oh, yeah, we slide right...
Peritonitis, stool, bacteria.
What you're asking here?
Abdominal cavity from the perforation infects everything. It will kill you if untreated. This can result from trauma, all kinds of different ways, putting live eel up there, erosion.
Oh, we've heard the eels. That's usually somewhere in the Middle East, too,
due to retaining the foreign body for a long period of time, or severe constipation due to an obstruction, like the dude we talked about yesterday.
You hear that jarro in his a-hole.
Yeah, and
A-O,
couldn't do anything for a few days.
No.
It is natural to feel shame, but we see this stuff all the time, so come get help when you need it.
It's not going to not to say they won't laugh at you behind your back later.
Email the guy and say, is she a emergency room doctor? That's probably where they would show up,
Yeah, I know. I've talked to this guy, interacted with this guy.
I just want to know
before.
How many times does he see this? Like, is it once a month?
Well, he said.
That's
probably more than you think.
We see this stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I bet it depends. If you're working in a big city. I bet you see it probably once a week.
Yeah, I just don't.
A lot of people.
Yeah,
into some weird stuff.
I understand butt play. I don't understand having not a handle on the outside to pull it back out.
Well, you make do with what you got.
Yeah. Well, that's apparently what you think.
It's got some more here. Yeah. Not retaining to the butt. Just because I have to say, binge drinking is not. Like exercising your liver at all.
That was what that guy said, man.
Number two, I'm all for showering, but I also prefer the Australian Swingers Club. We talked about the high-end Swingers Club in Australia yesterday. That you at least wrap that bear up or be negative for hepatitis, herpes, hairpiece, HIV, or other STI.
It's funny because people try to shame Stephanie Love on her Twitter, the a-hole. Whore shamers and whatever, that kind of people, those a-holes. And she always responds that somebody went at her the other day about STDs on her Twitter feed. And basically, they were scumbags going at her. And she said, we're tested every 14 days.
Yeah.
And tell me what anybody in the general public's tested every 14 days. Nobody.
Nothing.
Nobody.
For nothing.
Most people have never been tested their whole lives, 14 days. Right. So there was some old white man, Christian guy, probably shaming her while he's got a big, he's got a turnip up his ass.
Well, hey, as long as the turnip's got the stem still attached, he's being safe.
Good point. Good point. A big stem, too.
Yeah,
not one
to
cut off.
Something to extract it with.
Right, right. It's like a gourd from Halloween. That a big handle on the end of that gourd, right?
Yes. Yeah.
That's a good idea, guys. You've been thinking about that today.
Oh, and then you
gourds out there. Not many gourds in the spring, aren't they? That's a fall thing. You see those, yeah.
Yeah, it is more of a fall thing.
Yeah.
I think that's gourd season.
Get that gourd. Remember when they dry out and they rattle?
Yeah.
You should put that up there. So when you walk, you rattle, and then you can't even hide it there.
Shake your hips a little bit.
Where's that rattle coming from? You don't want to know. I got a gourd in my butt.
Oh, and then we were discussing that place in Arizona with a cooler full of D's.
Yeah.
All the body parts.
That was terrible.
Yeah, but that was also, we confused that with the cryogenic one, too, and that's two different things, right?
And a body donation center. Well, they were, I guess. But they didn't sound too legit.
No, they didn't. That's what the one. Yeah, the guy's bomb got blown up into a military. They sold her body to the military behind that guy's back.
Right.
And they blew her up in a chair to test IEDs or something.
And that's why they've been in lawsuits since 2014 or whatever. Yeah. Most remains donated to science are treated with great reverence and respect.
I've heard that.
In medical schools, they are considered the first patient and often include a ceremony for families and their specific cremated remains. Yeah. Disgraceful and sad to hear the story in Arizona on so many levels. Although thankfully rare, this is a major challenge in the chain of custody and how a small number of bad actors, thinking their actions have no consequences, can undermine the entire process. I don't know why this specific brain could not be used for the intended research, but the preserved brain tissue is indeed a primary source of study for conditions like Alzheimer's, like CTE, and the cells, proteins, and other important information is there. Either way, it does not entitle an organization to ignore family wishes and use the remains for any purpose they see fit, or to sell to the highest bidder. Awful.
I'm thinking when we did that story yesterday that a lot of people are probably thinking they're going to donate their bodies to science, they probably would just say, yeah, blow me up. That sounds cool, man. put me as an extra in a John Wick movie and just blow me away right there or something like that. They don't use real bodies. So speaking of respect, I forgot to mention this. I was flying back from D.C. to Omaha.
Omaha.
And
where you live?
We were on the flight in D.C., and this is Southwest, so a lot of times guys mess around and have fun. You know, Southwest used to, at least. I think after the Christmas time, they don't mess around as much as they used to. But the guy gets on and welcomes us on the flight, the pilot, and he says, he's kind of got a somber tone to him. He goes, we're going to be 2 hours, 15 minutes to Omaha. And he goes, and he makes a point of saying, and we have a somber note, and I'm thinking. Then he's gonna make a joke.
Yeah,
like our flight attendant is drunk or something like that. But because they've always done that in Southwest, always mess. Even the pilots have made jokes.
Yeah,
oh yeah, they're a fun airline.
He says, "We are also transporting a soldier on his last run, a dead guy."
Oh,
so there's a casket underneath the plane. And there's a guy, we're sitting about five rows back, and I remember reading this before, no matter where they go, there's a couple movies made about this, they're always accompanied by another soldier. So there was a guy in the front row, in the window, dressed in uniform. He was a guy that was going to accompany them. Didn't think anything of it in the flight, except just thinking, we're flying a dead guy, you know? I'm sure you've been in planes, I've never been on what they did it with a soldier. I'm sure we've flown with dead guys before.
Probably.
But they don't tell you that.
They just don't, they don't announce it.
Right. So we land, and we get to the gates, and then they say, and here's they say, please, the bell rang. Everybody starts standing. They go, nope, please stay seated. So the family walks out in the tarmac, and we're on that side of the plane. And they walk out in the tarmac, and here's my problem with this. I had no problem waiting because I thought that's what they post. But they keep you on the plane, except the family's standing down there, and then a bunch of soldiers show up, and they're all in, you know, there's like six of them in line doing their maneuvers outside the hearse, and they walk really slow. Now, no big deal. We're already in Omaha. Nobody gave a crap, and they figured, well, this is what you're supposed to do. But I thought my wife had a good point. We're on that one side of the plane, and there are faces plastered all through the windows.
That was what I was going to say.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, this doesn't make any sense keeping us on the plane. We could all just go off the plane. Nobody would have seen us leaving. The family could have been alone without faces looking at them, and a plane right next to us was leaving anyway.
Yeah.
We were just the one carrying the body. Well, once again, I know that's a respect thing, but I think they should look into that because I thought it looked weird for the family. I felt bad for the family.
Well, at the very least.
Because basically, we're just plastered along the windows looking out at the family.
At the very least, ask everybody on that side of the plane to drop the window shades and just don't be just.
If you're
going to
drop the window shades, then everybody leave then, too.
Yeah.
It made no sense to keep us on the plane.
Yeah,
and that one didn't last that long. But if you had a changeover, not there's many changeovers in our city. Once again, I thought it was out respectful. I thought that was the way they. I didn't know that's the way they do it.
Yeah, no big deal. Where that happened.
It was 15 extra minutes we sat there, and it was just sad. But especially you see the family down there, and they weren't really old people. So I'm guessing this kid could have been young, whoever the soldier was that died. You know, and I'm thinking they're just seeing faces plastered on the plane, looking out at us.
Yeah, that's got to be weird.
Yeah. And plus that once again, the plane beside them on the other side was just emptying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you really want an audience for one of the worst moments of your life?
I don't think you want an audience for that.
So the soldiers came up, they were acting like pallbearers?
Oh,
They just took the casket?
They did the whole thing. They took the casket out of the belly of the plane. We couldn't see.
Was the casket on wheels, or did they walk
For our angle of the plane, even though we were on that side of the plane, we couldn't see where they were at. But they got it from the back of the plane, and they brought it to the hearse with the whole ceremony, you know. And once they got to the hearse, we were all allowed to get off the plane. That's how that worked. But I'd never been on a plane like that. And that's how they do that. So in case you see, that's what they're going to do if you're on a plane and you're flying back a dead. But I'm guessing a lot of times during wartime that happened all. Even though we're always at war, basically.
I didn't know there was always another soldier to accompany the body.
There's a movie about that. Either Kevin Bacon or... it's a movie about a guy that accompanies a dead body, and more than one, but I remember reading about that once. It sounds pretty interesting.
So if they can, they will send the soldier to his home.
That's
her home.
He was getting off in Omaha.
Chance.
Who's in it?
Kevin Bacon.
Oh, okay. Man.
2009.
I am so good. I never saw that movie. I'm so good about that.
You hear about bodies being flown into Delaware or D.C.
No, this guy was probably already processed, Todd.
Okay.
And this is probably...
Yeah, I think that's the first stop. It's in D.C. What is it? Dover.
Somewhere in Delaware.
Yeah. It's Dover, Delaware, usually the Air Force Base.
And then from there on their home...
So Omaha was obviously his final resting place. I just felt bad for the family having to look at a bunch of faces looking out at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That family's having one of the worst moments of their lives, and you just got a bunch of gawkers in the plane.
Now, everybody in the plane was really... Nobody in the plane even spoke, because we all knew it was a respectful situation.
Yeah, but
situation.
Some people were pissed.
Oh, by the way, I'm
sitting here waiting on the tarmac.
Well, I even brought up my wife. I said, I just thought, why are we sitting here? This is really... They don't even know we're going to be exiting it. We're not like exiting right off. We're not getting off the plane onto the runway.
Right.
We're going the jetway. But that's obviously the way they do that. I thought it was respectful. I didn't care. But I felt bad for the families looking all the faces down at them, you know?
I wonder if they release you guys off the plane to go ahead and leave, if there's guys underneath out on the tarmac that have to start doing other things that would then interfere with their
ceremony. They have to empty the bags. But believe it or not, it was like one of the quickest bag... Once we got off the plane, the bags were down there, and if you fly our air, it's pretty slow usually.
Yeah.
So I don't know about that either, Puss. I have no idea why they do that.
I just think,
I don't think it was anything to do with that. I think it was just out of respect. Stay on the plane, and we just do that. Okay. But I don't think they really take into account everybody gawking at these family members standing on the runway.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where
I'm just thinking about the people who gate check the stroller or something. You know, somebody's got to bring all that stuff up. And there's going to be people milling around on the tarmac around the family that they probably want to keep out of the way.
Well, they just wouldn't do that. You let off the plane, everybody else, then you can wait in the... There's only five or six people usually waiting for bags.
Baggage handlers aren't standing by. They're letting everybody else do their thing.
I didn't see anybody.
I
did see a couple baggage handlers around, but they were just probably just standing there being respectful. You know?
Yeah, they probably have to wait until that's all over.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon, man, I nailed that.
I think that was an HBO movie, actually.
Was it really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I just remembered that story. I forgot to bring it up when you mentioned respecting, I remember respecting the rights of a patient with a gourd in his ass reminded me of that story.
It's a natural transition.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Most people would make that connection.
Nick is, we got family stuff. He'll be back tomorrow. I think he's flying back today, actually.
I think he's back in town this morning.
Oh, he is? Okay. And yeah. Then Tyler Walsh is going to stop in a little later on. We'll get the inside story on Tyler and Jason Ring getting stopped by cops in a Yaris.
Again.
I'm guessing with those two dudes on the plane, you probably couldn't get that thing over 55 miles an hour.
You know? I think not. Yeah, it must be hard to speed in that thing with two people in it, especially.
Don't know what the ticket was. We'll wait and find out. We don't know.
It looked like they were receiving a piece of paper.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I said. It looked like there was some ticket.
They're smiling. Regan's taking a selfie of those two with
maybe
the cop.
Maybe it was just a written warning.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can give you those.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of times they don't.
No, they don't.
But they can give you a warning in writing.
You're a pretty girl to give you a warning.
I think I got the written warning for the illegal left turn that time.
Mm. A lot of people called you an ass for that story.
That was one guy. And again, I'll say it. It was one lane turning onto two.
Yeah.
Which everybody does that in that situation.
Dumb law. I mean, if it's two left turn lanes or two right turn lanes, then you stay in your lane while you're making your turn. Yeah, but if it's one lane going onto a two-lane road.
Yeah, you're allowed to do that, right?
Like in my instance, I got to turn right and then almost immediately left to get home, so I just swing out into the left lane because nobody's coming from the other way.
Yeah, you're not cutting anybody off in that
stupid
situation.
Law.
Yeah. I've
stupid
seen cops law. Do that.
But they can do anything they want.
Everybody does that.
Yeah. They can do anything they want.
That one asshat that decided to email and call me a douche. Yeah. Like, no, calm down, dude. It was one turning on to two.
There's so many other reasons you're a douche.
Exactly.
Other than turning into a different lane.
Exactly.
Come on back.
You're listening to the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire.